In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I will share with you, my beloved, a reading from the book of Judges. One of the things that we have to train ourselves with is when somebody asks us, we read something from the book of Judges. So most of the time we know where the book of the Judges, and we try to find it in the index in the Holy Bible. But when we try to get ourselves familiar with the consequence of events of the history, which is not hard to find or to know or to understand, we will find exactly where about the Judges would be. So if I take you from the beginning of the Holy Bible in the Old Testament, you will find that we have the five books of Moses, which end with Deuteronomy, and then Joshua became the leader of the people after Moses. So Joshua, the book of Joshua comes after the five books of Moses. And then between Moses and Joshua, and when we start the era of the kings, we come with the Judges. The Judges people were chosen by God, and by the name of Judges, they were people God appointed to judge among the people. So God would speak to the judge and tell him, go and tell the people so and so. And if the people have any questions, the judge would come to God and ask him the same thing. So this is just a quick note about what is Judges on the Old Testament. There are several characters in the book of Judges, but what I would like to share with you tonight is the story about Gideon, which is one of the judges. We'll find it in the book of Judges between chapter 6 and chapter 7. Chapter 6 in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, meaning Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go to in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And Gideon took the message and went to prepare the people to face the Midianites, which they were a very fierce enemy to the people of Israel at the time. Then I take you to an interesting twist in the story. At the beginning of chapter 7. Then Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. So they are about to get to the battle. So Gideon collected the people, and they are about to encamp before they get into the battle. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of people returned, and then 10,000 remained. So Gideon in the beginning had 32,000 people. The first call of God to say, anybody who is fear, let him turn back and go home. 22,000 people turned home and 10,000 remained. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that if of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall sit apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Then the last part I would like to read with you here is about how did they succeed, or how did they prevail. In verse 19, chapter 7, so Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle of watch of the night, just as they posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord out and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. This is the Midianites. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. The story, in short, first of all, is not by our wisdom, not by our counts, not by our weighing of things with our evaluations, but the Lord is in control. If you calculate it with human calculation, the earthly calculations would say there is no way that you can go and fight among this people with only 300 men. So the countdown from 32,000 to 22,000 down to 300, from 32,000 down to 10,000 down to 300, with God telling Gideon, with these 300 you're going to win, this is absolutely out of any human wisdom that can understand. And this is to teach us that it is not by our wisdom, it is not by our how sharp we are and how perfect we are in managing things in our life, because at the end, if God wants something, it will happen. This is to teach us that if you find yourself not having what it takes to prevail, if you find yourself not having what's enough for you to feel that you can win over anything, over habits, over bad situations, difficult situations in life, a crisis in life, you have to remember that with God everything is possible. And go back and read chapter 6 and 7 in the book of Judges and remember, with calculations of men, nothing will happen. But God knows exactly what's going to happen. Number two is the way that he filtered people. First, the people who are afraid, go back. Second, he took them to the water and he said to them, whoever get down with his face to the water, you sent home. But whoever get to his knees and take the water in his hand and drink, you keep. And only 300 did that. What's the meaning of these two signs? The meaning, those people are in the battlefield and they have to be watchful all around them. So when a person comes down with all his face to the water, he forgets about what he's here for, and he just indulges himself in satisfying his thirst. But he who kneels down on his knees and takes the water up and drink it, he is still aware of what's going around him. So he is a person who is alert, a person who does not forget why he was there and what exactly is asked of him. The same thing we apply to our life is that sometimes we indulge ourselves. Sometimes we forget all about who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it, and we just indulge ourselves. Like a person who would put his head down to the water, forget all about what's around him. The enemy will come and will capture him in this state with no opposition at all. So this teaches that we have to be alert of what's going on around us in life. The third point and the last one I conclude with is about how did they win and prevail. There was no sword, there were no battle equipment, but rather in verse 8:19, we hear about three things. We hear about the trumpets, we hear about the pitchers, and the torches. What they did is they came at night while the enemy was sleeping, and they broke the pitchers, and the way they were handling it is the torch was inside the pitcher, the torch inside the pitcher, and the trumpet in one hand. So they blew the trumpet, and they smash the pitcher, and when they smash the pitcher, what appeared to be is a torch of fire. The enemy woke up with the sound of the trumpet, and they were so afraid of the sign of crashing the pitchers, and when they about to look, they saw a group of people carrying fire on their hands, so they fled away. But those three things have a meaning in our life. The trumpet means the praising of God that we have to have and keep in our life. We praise God means that we put Him first in everything. The pitchers, it's a symbol of our earthly life. Pitchers, clay pitchers, are very frail, earthly vessels. They're very cheap. This is our life. We are very, very fragile and very frail. But the Spirit of God is the torch inside the pitcher, which is the Spirit of God inside each one of us. And this is what would make us to be worthy and have a value. So we win the battle against the enemy by three things. By praising God, by keeping the Spirit of God inside our earthly vessels, which is our earthly life here. And this is the way that Gideon and the 300 men were able to conquer over the enemy. If you read early in chapter 4 or 5, you will read about how the Midianites were humiliating the children of Israel, to the point that the children of Israel were living in caves in the mountains because they were afraid. And here it is, 300 men, with the help of God, they were able to conquer this fierce enemy and get over with them. So my beloved, in conclusion, we should not depend on our earthly wisdom. So many situations, we weigh it and we think about it, and we started to believe in ourselves that, yes, I know it all. I know exactly what I'm going to do. But sometimes we have to stop and just go back, step back, and ask God, I want you, God, to be with me. I want you to guide me. If it's in your will, let it be. If it's not, then take it away from me. At least consult with God before taking any decision. And don't trust your own counsel. Always resort to having the counsel and the advice of people you know that will give you the truth. I was reading something lately, and the writer was saying, humble yourself enough to seek the counsel of people who will give you the truth. Because sometimes we feel that asking for advice is making me weak. Asking for advice is making me to feel I'm dumb, I don't understand something, and this is why I go and ask people. No. Humble yourself, because most of the time, when you're in the middle of something, you don't see all the facts around you because you are captured with one aspect of it. You are in need of resorting to people who give you the truth regardless of what you want to hear. Because sometimes even when I go to seek counsel, I seek counsel from people who would give me what I want to hear. A friend, a person who loved me, and he just, you know, comfort me with words. So when I tell him, what do you think of this, and he knows that I want this way, he will tell me, yes, this is a way. although this might not be the way. But for seeking counsel and advice, I should seek a person who would give me the truth regardless of what I want or what I don't want to hear. This is what I want to seek. It takes humility. It takes humbleness. It takes a kind of controlling yourself and bringing yourself down in order for you to be able to receive the advice at the end. Sometimes we don't like to do that. Sometimes we are in a rush to prove to everybody that I'm right, to prove to everybody that I'm in control of every situation in my life. I don't like to appear weak. I don't like to appear to be in not in control, but rather strong, sharp. And again, this is in a big title. This is absolute calculations of people. If you look around us these days, everything is around how strong of a character you are, how sharp you are, how good of a leader you are, how much you are strong enough to convince people of your point of view. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter, but you have to prove yourself that you are the one. The matters are upside down. The matters are twisted and they are not clear. And unfortunately, with all this, the truths get lost in the middle. If you look here, how come with any earthly calculations, an army of 300 be able to conquer? If you put yourself in the place of Gideon and you find yourself having 32,000 men and suddenly 22 left you, I would say if even 30% of the 32,000 left, I would lose my heart and I would say, no, I'm not going to do this. So down to 10,000, and from 10,000 down to 300, and you think it's absolutely nonsense, but it makes sense in the calculation of God. Sometimes God walks us through ways that doesn't make any sense. And sometimes we find ourselves following God in things that we don't have any explanation for. Just be patient and be trustful to God and seek His wisdom and seek His advice, and you will prevail at the end. One last thing, my beloved, is that it will also help us to look back when you find how many times God was with us and made us to pass safely from different situations in our life. We would know that He would not let us down at any time. He who gets you to this point that you are in life will never leave you in the middle. It's not like a friend who is with you now and maybe afterwards you're going to move or he's going to move and then you're going to lose the support you get from his friend. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God give us the ability to always depend on His counsel and wisdom. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.